Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show on Blog Talk Radio. Today is November 11th, 2009. I'm your host, Lucinda Fierros, with my co-host, Robert Boyd. And tonight our guest is Mr. John Boyd, Jr., and John has a story to tell us. He got into selling drugs and gang banging and ended up serving 12 years in the penitentiary on murder charges. So we will get to John in just a little bit. We do want to wish everybody a nice Veterans Day, and we'd like to thank all of those who served in any military capacity for freedom and for our country. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, Rob Boyd.
Yes, I would like to just say how you doing tonight, everyone. And tonight is I can't even grab the words, ladies and gentlemen, you know, but I have to give my family, which is the Guyton family, a shout out. And we're asking all the fans and all the viewers for their prayers right now with the family. My baby auntie was found dead last Wednesday, so the family has been going through a little turmoil right now. So we're just asking you for your prayers and everything right now. And we're going to get to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. And I just want to welcome Mr. John Boyd to the show tonight. He has a great testimony to tell the world, and hopefully his testimony will open up some of these youth's eyes out here that the streets are definitely don't love you back out here. So I'm going to pass the mic to Mr. John Boyd to officially introduce himself.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Rob?
Great for yeah. So far.
So far, I know that's right, man. Well, my name is John Boyd, St. John or John, whatever, you know, people prefer to call me by. I don't even know where to start at, man, you know. My prayers go out to you and your family. Definitely go out to you and your family, and, you know, and I pray that God, you know, will just keep y'all doing the midst of everything that y'all going through, you know, and that you got to face and deal with, and, you know, that y'all family, you know, stay strong and stay together and make wise decisions.
Yeah,
in the midst of it all.
Thanks so much, John. You know, appreciate it very much for that right there. And right now, I'm going to pass the mic over to Lucinda, and she's going to be the first one to start out asking Mr. Boyd some questions about his lifestyle and things like that, and then I'll follow up behind that.
Okay. Hi, John. Welcome to our show.
How you doing?
And, I'm doing great.
How you doing, Miss Boyd?
Soon to be Miss Boyd, that's for sure.
Soon to be Miss Boyd.
4 weeks, okay? 4 weeks.
not to John Boyd, but to Rob Boyd. Let's
right.
Get that straight, because I don't want the listeners thinking.
That's you, right. There
yeah.
You go. Miss Rob Boyd.
Yeah, but congratulations to y'all, and I wish y'all success and happiness.
Thank you so much. Well, John, why don't you go back to your younger years and just tell us a little bit about your life and how you lived and how your family life was growing up.
Well, basically, you know, I think I encountered, you know, what I guess 80 to 90% of, you know, most black or African Americans encountered, you know, during the years of growing up, you know, around environments that's infested with, you know, drugs and hustling, gangbanging, you know, just doing everything to make money, you know, illegally. But, you know,
right.
I grew up in a, you know, a household, what I could say that was, you know, influenced by the drug trade or the drug market. And I adapted to that lifestyle, you know, at the age of 13, left home, you know, just was doing me, you know, going out, trying to live that lifestyle. And, you know, my mom, you know, she was a former addict, you know, addicted to drugs. And and it wasn't a concern, you know, about my well-being. Not that she didn't care, but, you know, she had her lifestyle and, you know, the things that she had to deal with. But
right.
Nevertheless, you know, I left home. I was 13, and I came back home, then left home again, you know, and, you know, just started living that life, you know, selling drugs, selling crack.
Where did you grow up at? What city?
I grew up in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who was the one that kind of, I mean, your mom was addicted to drugs. Where was your dad?
My dad, he wasn't around, you know, at the time. My dad and my mom, they had separated when I was 5.
All right. And so did you have any male role models in your life at all at that time, or just the guys out on the street?
Just the guys out on the block, you know. Guys out on the block was, you know, a major influence in my life. You know,
okay.
Even though it was negative, you know, you did have some cats out there that was, you know, on a positive, you know, had a positive mentality or aspect, you know, as far as telling me, you know, younger, you better go ahead in the house somewhere, or, you know, you don't belong out here. You
right.
know, but you had, you know, two guys telling you, you know, do the right thing, and 20 telling you do the wrong thing.
Right. So you were 13. Do you remember who actually got you out there, or did you just kind of put yourself out there and get involved in it?
I put myself out there. You know,
okay.
I put myself out there, you know, seeing, you know, the guys out there, you know, they was, you know, at that time, you know, me making $10 or $15, you know, was a lot of money at, you know, 13. And then, you know, when I got to the age of 15, that's when money really started being different, you know, because
right.
I had, you know, some guys that really invested in me, you know, they seen the potential of, you know, me just knowing how to make money. And, you know, back then they would pay you like $20 for every $100 you made for them. But, you know,
right.
these guys that I got hooked up with, you know, I was making like, you know, off $1,000, I was making like $300 or $400 at the time, and which was good
right.
money back then. You know, and then 87, 88, you know, it just
right.
picked up real different then.
Too. Right. So what kind of drugs were you selling at that time?
I was selling PCP and powder cocaine.
Okay. And were you actually involved in a gang or just the drug selling?
Yeah, both. Both.
Both, okay.
Both.
All right. And how long did you sell drugs?
I sold drugs.
Well, kind of how it escalated and to, you know, kind of what went on in the next few years.
Well, at the age of 16, you know, I dropped out of school and, you know, I was, you know, hustling with some guys from out of New York City. And, you know, like I said, they took a real strong investment in me, you know, as far as, you know, making sure that I was making money, you know.
Right.
And from that, you know, 1987 rolled around, you know, and crack was like, it was like the epitome of Washington, D.C.
Right.
And from there, you know, 1988 rolled around, you know, I was really like doing my thing big time. And that's what led to me, you know, catching a murder charge and getting incarcerated, you know, and being gone away from my family for such a long period of time.
Right.
Yeah, I want to ask you, John, at the time of you hustling back in them days, did you run into Rafe Wattman?
Yeah.
When you was hustling back then?
Several times.
Yeah, what kind of contact did you have with Rafe at that time?
I had close contact with him. You know, it was a guy that, well, he raised me. I grew up with him. You know, me and him was real tight, and, you know, he was running with Ray at the time. And, you know, I was running to Ray, like, quite frequently, you know, going to clubs or, you know, little gambling spots and all that. And Ray was a real cool dude. I mean, you know, people made him out to be, you know, I guess somewhat a snitch or a punk or whatever. But, you know, I could really, you know, say from my heart, you know, that Ray was a real good dude. He wasn't a violent type dude that people made him out to be. You know, Ray was the type of dude, if he eat, you eat. You know, trouble wasn't his thing, but it was, you know, a lot of guys that was hanging around Ray that was, you know, making it bad for him. And that's how he really got caught up in all this mess.
Right, right. So did you ever get a chance to hustle with Ray for back then, or indirectly with Rayford at that point in time.
Yeah.
Dig that. Because, you know, I remember back in them days, you know, what you're talking about, you know, because I ran into Rayford several times when I used to come down to Michigan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington, D.C. was hot on the block back through the 80s because of Rayford, you
know. Right.
And a couple of cats out of New York at that time as well, you know. So, when you got to dealing in the drugs real heavy, you know, did you get caught up using and selling or just selling?
Just selling.
Okay. And how did the murder case come about, and how did things like that escalate in the game? You know, but before we get to that, tell the youth some incidents that took place in your life that almost cost you your life and your freedom at certain times before we get to the actually, how did you end up catching the murder case?
All right. Two incidents, man, that I could really recall. And, you know, I never told anybody this, you know, all the days of my life. When I was 13, no, I was 14. I was 14, and I had this guy. He was older than me. He dead, God rest his soul now. But he took me and my cousin in his basement. This is when I first learned about, you know, freebasing. He took me in the basement, man, and he, you know, offered it to me and my cousin. And at the time, you know, we was young. We was smoking weed back then. And he had a bowl, and he had water in the bowl. And he was, you know, smoking. He was freebasing. It was called freebasing back then. So he, you know, told me and my cousin, he said, look, why don't y'all try this? So, you know, me and my cousin, we tried it. Now, we ain't know nothing about it, but he was like, when you take the smoke in, you know, breathe it out your nose. But me and my cousin, we swallowed the smoke. You know, and when we swallowed the smoke, man, we, like, both took off out the door and almost died, man. You know, just being easily influenced, you know, in a negative way. And I can recall, you know, vividly, 1987, man, I was at one of my spots and I was cutting up. And, you know, like, seven dudes ran in there, you know, pistol whipped me, you know, me and the young lady, and pulled shotguns on us, you know, and, you know, robbed us and everything. But I was, you know, so blessed that my life wasn't taken, you know, that I didn't lose my life. So
that's,
you know, that was another incident.
That's another frame of letting these youths know. And I just want to iterate, too, you know, when me and the wife was out in California interviewing the real Freeway Ricky Ross, you know, he also indicated as well, you know, about people – kill you for, you know what I mean, an ounce of dope, you know what I mean, or $100 worth of dope, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and, you know, don't be amazed when your so-called homeboy tell on you, you know?
Right.
All
right.
That go with the game, you
right.
know what I mean? It's no such thing as that's my friend, that's my homie, this, that, and the other, because people get envy of you, you know what I mean, when you're doing good, you
exactly,
know?
Man, exactly.
And they, you know, pray for your downfall, like Biggie say, you know?
Tell me about it, man.
But at the same time, you know, cats out here nowadays don't believe that could happen to them, you know?
Right.
They don't believe that happens to them until that happens to them,
right.
You know? And can you iterate on some incidents where you thought people was your so-called friend and they did you in? Can you elaborate on some of that?
Yeah. You know, that, and I'm glad you said that, man, because, you know, after being, you know, incarcerated for such a long time, I came home, you know, with an 88 mentality, thinking that, you know, dudes were still, you know, doing their thing and being good to the game and being true to the game. And cats I ran into, man, you know, he was taken down real heavy, man, and he, you know, he stopped hustling now. But when I came home, you know, I'm thinking, man, they gonna, you know, they gonna set it down and all this. And I got hooked up with this cat. He was from overseas. And what had happened was, you know, the cat that I got hooked up with that was overseas, he was, you know, he was putting it down for me. But one of my homies who I tried to take in, you know, he got wind that I was getting, you know, a better price and all that than, you know, what he was getting. And, you know, I tried to tie him in and everything. And, you know, the cat went behind my back and, you know, tried to downplay me, you know, talking to one of my mans about me and, you know, trying to tell him I'm, you know, selling garbage and all this stuff. So I ended up, you know, getting into a confrontation about it. because he was trying to downplay the whole situation so he can make it look like I was being the bad guy and he was being the good guy. And, you know, this was a cat that I took in. Yeah, this was a cat I took in.
Right, right. So in the midst of that, you know, that just goes to show you that the streets don't love you back.
Don't love
and
you back.
And when you live in that life like that, it definitely don't love you back because anything go in that life. Is that correct to say?
That's so correct, man. That's so correct.
You know, and, you know, I want to get into you sharing some light a little bit on some of the incidents happened with you and your gangs, you know what I mean? What got you involved with the gang life, you know what I mean, outside of you selling drugs, you know?
Basically, it was neighborhoods, you know. It was a neighborhood thing, you know. You got to protect your turf. You got to, you know, stand up for where you live at, man. And, you know, that was one of the greatest things, you know, back in the day. You know, I'm quite sure you're familiar with it, you know, Benz, though, from you being from where you are. You know, how, you know, South Side got to protect the North Side, et cetera.
Right.
But, you know, where we from, you know, you got gangs, you know, in several different neighborhoods and areas. And, you know, you just not going to let nobody come inside your hood and do what they want to do.
Right. So that's how you got caught up into that life, just, you know, trying to just protect your turf. But
right.
As you got older, you realized you didn't own nothing in that neighborhood.
I ain't own nothing, man. I realized.
You
man,
know
all
what
of me?
That's what all the gangbangers need to fail to realize,
right,
you know.
Right.
So we want to iterate that right here on the show tonight. Look at yourself, man. Look deep in the mirror, bro,
right,
and ask yourself why you run around here gangbanging, saying you this and saying you that. Ask yourself, what do you own in that neighborhood?
Pull out a deed.
Right. And when you look in the mirror, you're going to say to yourself, dang, my man on the, you know, the Streets Don't Love You Back radio said, I didn't own nothing over here. You know what I mean? And that's real talk, man. You know, get your education, and then you can own that. You can definitely own that. But you don't own nothing in a neighborhood, brother, unless you done
right.
Bought something. And half of you cats ain't bought nothing. You know what I mean? And destroying your own stuff in your own neighborhood, you dig? And I want to just pass the mic back over to Lucinda, and then I'll have her get into the iteration of how you got caught up with the murder charge and what led up to the murder charge. So I will turn the mic back over to her.
I wanted to go back to your mom for a minute, and you said she was addicted to drugs and your dad wasn't there, so you kind of just went out on your own into the streets and got involved out there.
Right.
How was it like living with a mom that was addicted to drugs? And can you tell us some of the things that you remember about that?
Yeah, it was real tough. You know, it was real tough because, you know, here you had, you know, a single mother raising five kids, you know, trying to do everything she know to do, you know, keep the wheels moving inside the house. And yet, you know, in the background, you know, she's, you know, addicted to drugs and using drugs. But it really didn't affect me until I started hustling. Mm-hmm. Until I started hustling, that's when it really affected me. You know, I really started seeing it, you know, for what it was really worth. You know, when I was, you know, selling crack, it was just like going in people's houses, seeing their moms and seeing how their moms was, you know, taking their money, you know, for the kids and buying crack with it. And it
right.
made me reflect back on my mom, you know, when I used to wonder why I didn't have food in the house at the time and, you know, didn't have no good Christmas and all that.
Exactly. And not only moms, but dads, you know, too. Back then.
Right.
But when you're a single parent, it, you know, it's even worse.
It's even worse. Exactly.
It's all going.
Exactly.
The drug to the addiction. Where are you in the five kids? Oldest, youngest, middle?
Third to the oldest.
So you're kind of right in the middle then.
Yeah, right in the middle, basically.
Right in the middle. So how's your mom doing now? Did
she
doing
wonderful. All for drugs.
Got out of that, great.
Yeah, she's, man, I'm so proud of her.
That's good. That's hard. And your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, my sister's wonderful. One of them in Alabama, the other one is in Largo. You know, doing real good.
Mm-hmm. And your brothers?
Same brothers doing good.
Did they get caught up with you?
Nah. They was really too scared to do anything wrong.
Okay. So what helped you get through all of that then? I mean, seeing your mom, you know, when coming home, obviously you're out hustling because you want to have money to eat and nice clothes to wear and stuff like that.
Right.
Did you in turn help your mom and your siblings, you know, with the money
that
you were at that point?
Basically, it was my grandmother, because during my hustling time, my mom had went to a rehab place. Matter of fact, in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, matter of fact, she went to a rehab place in Michigan because my uncle had moved from D.C. to Michigan. And he, you know, went to the program too. And he, in turn, you know, went up there and bought two houses and everything, and then got my mom involved in the program up there.
Oh, great.
That's good. And so, what do you think helped get you through all that? Obviously, I mean, there's more to the story that we haven't heard yet, but
yeah, really, it was a will, you know, a will to see daylight, a will to be free, you know.
Right.
That's, you know, because I can't say, I mean, God did it all, but at the time, I didn't have a relationship with God like I do now.
Right.
So, you know, my mentality was, I got to survive.
Exactly.
You know.
And you quit school at 16, so
yeah.
You know, knowing now what you know now, what would you tell the youth now that want to, you know, drop out of school and hang out in the streets?
I would tell them, you know, like Brother Rob is preaching right now, the streets don't love you back. You know, I would tell them, you know, stay in school, you know, and make the best of your life. You know, that easy, fast money is good, but it don't last. You know,
at
it's
all.
A great, great price you got to pay at the end of the day for it.
Oh,
you know,
yes, indeed.
Yeah, you may enjoy the moment, the momentary satisfaction of it, but at the end of the day, you know, somebody lost their life, somebody's losing their life, you know, somebody losing a mother, brother, uncle, sister, cousin, you know.
Right. And you don't know if you're going to make it home safe.
Exactly, exactly.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I'm so, you know, blessed to be able to tell my story, because, you know, just like, you know, my charge that I caught, this dude was buying drugs, you know, thinking that, you know, he about to go make some money. But he ended up losing his life.
Right, right. And that's actually what we want to get into right now. You know, what led up to the murder, and what led up to that whole situation throughout that day that brought all that situation on, John?
Well, what happened, and I say this, man, and it's so strange, but if you're a man and you're listening right now, always listen to your woman, because they got insight. Well, they got foresight and insight.
Say that again, Brother John.
Always listen to your woman, because they got insight and foresight, man.
And
I ain't gonna lie.
That's what I always say, baby boy. I always listen to my queen, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why, you know what I mean, I'm still sitting here right now.
Right.
Feel me?
Right.
Out of all the mist that's happening, you know what
right.
I mean? Yeah. Because I know I got a lot to lose, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I gained a lot through my life, through
right.
the years, you know?
Right.
And when a man don't listen to his queen, he's going to go wrong, you know?
He's going to go wrong.
And you can't be all hot-headed. Come on, forget what you're saying. You know
right.
what I mean? I got to do this. I got, because that's when the misunderstanding comes
right.
in, people.
And see, that's what happened the night I caught my charge. I was with my lady friend, and she said, you know, I just was pressed that night for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you need to, you know, just stay in the house and chill. We had just came back from somewhere. And one of my dudes had called me. He was like, man, he needed something. You know, this guy trying to get something. So she was like, look, the day Sunday, you know, when you hustling, man, you got a little religious thing going on. You don't hustle on Sundays.
Exactly.
So this particular Sunday, I was like, I'm going to go, you know, do this real fast, and I'll be right back. She was like, nah, just stay in the house and chill. Let him wait till tomorrow.
Right.
I was hard-headed, left. I go meet the dude, and, you know, I gave him the stuff. And what had happened was, it was a threefold transaction. I gave it to him, and he was supposed to sell it to somebody else.
Right.
And the dude he was, you know, selling it to didn't pay him the right amount of money. So he ended up getting killed, man. The dude ended up getting killed, you know. And I got away, you know, for a couple of days, but – you know, I had a warrant out for me. I didn't even know it. You know, people was on the balcony. They seen me.
Right.
You know, they seen me. I ain't see them, but they saw me.
Right.
And, you know, that's what, you know, led to me getting incarcerated, man, and getting a 50-year prison sentence.
Right, so that was drug deal gone bad.
Drug deal gone bad, man.
So the guy had gave you the wrong money.
Right.
And you end up shooting him?
No, he got stabbed.
You end up stabbing him.
Yeah.
And with that, I mean, with the wrong money thing, I mean, the money didn't get counted out, or he just handed it to you and you just walked away.
Yeah, took it in great faith.
Like most cats do in the game, if
right.
I'm dealing with you.
Right.
If the ticket five stacks, okay, here you go and
right.
give me mine. I'll count this when I get home.
Right.
You know? So when did you recognize that all the paper wasn't there?
When I got in the car, something just said, man, count it up, see what's up with it.
Right.
And as soon as I get to counting, and, you know, what gave him away is when I got out the car, I was like, look, you know, I went to call him back. He took off running.
Right.
He took off running. So that's what gave him up. Yeah. That's when, you know, showed me he was, you know, on some shiesty stuff.
Right.
Yeah. He knew he did it.
Right. Exactly.
So you end up chasing the guy down.
Yeah.
Doing him in.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So after all that happened, John, you know what I mean, and you went to the crib, you know what I mean, and I know you had to, you had to tell the missus, you know what I mean, babe, I should have listened to you, you know, it's a misunderstanding done jumped off. You know, how did that make you feel when you had to go home and tell your people that?
Made me feel like a punk, man. Made me feel like a real punk, you know. You know, here it is, I should have listened, but, you know, when you guys sometimes stick your tail up your butt, man, and go home and do the right thing, so.
Right.
I fought with it along the way, you know.
Right.
Should I tell her? Should I not tell her? Should I tell her?
But at the time, you know, you
they're coming for you.
Because they on their way.
They on their way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so did anybody see the incident?
Yeah. Two people was on their balcony. You know, it was nighttime. I ain't see them, but they saw me.
Okay.
And that's how, you know, I really got caught because, you know, two
you
witnesses.
Probably were just so angry you weren't even paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention. And that goes, you know, to say, sure. You know, how your anger can take control of you till where you don't see anything.
Right. You just ask for one mission and that's it.
Right.
Right. So at the time that that everything jumped off, okay, now they come and get you. What takes place from that point?
And when they came and got me, you know, I kept denying it, you know, kept denying it. And, you know, I sat there for almost 13 hours, man. You know, and then, you know, all of a sudden everything just came out. And they took me down, man, and gave me no bond. You know, had me sitting for almost a year going through, you know, the trial and everything.
Right.
And I ended up getting a 50-year sentence, man.
Right.
50 years?
Yeah, I ended up getting a 50-year sentence. And I gave back, went back to court maybe like a couple of years later and gave back 38 years.
Dig that. So what made them break that down?
Just, you know, some little loopholes that my lawyer had found in the case. You know, as far as, you know, the sentencing guidelines and all that. And the judge, you know, he gave me max for everything.
Right. He wasn't trying to reason with nothing.
Right, for nothing. He wasn't trying to reason for nothing. And this was, you know, my first, you know, major offense as an adult.
Right. So definitely, ladies and gentlemen, we having a great speak right here tonight with my man John Boyd, and we're going to come back with him, and we're going to go right now. We're going to go to a commercial, and we're also going to go to the Streets Don't Love You Back song. So we're going to go to two things, commercial and a song, and we'll be right back with John Boyd.
What's up? This RB checking in. But the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug/drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In this street, no one can touch you. In this street.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you wanna be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you wanna do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In the street, no one's above you. In the street, no one can touch you. In the street, love
yeah, yeah.
If you want.
This track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step down May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
There's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a get. Got me caught up in moves. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born. We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably make it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true, it's up, and you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. They should slander it. Lies, tried to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals so you never stray away. Let the past be the past and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
now
on.
Now this all be checking back in with you. Like I said, it's that trap of knowledge that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LG. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
The rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd, a must-read book. This book will be available online, worldwide, to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
Yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I spoke kind of quick on the earlier ride, so we just checking back in with you. We checking back with my man John Boyd, and we just want to get right back to the situation, and we're going to turn the mic over to Lucinda.
John, how old were you when you went to prison?
17, going on 18.
And being in prison, tell us what you can remember about being in prison. And you know, we're trying to tell the kids out here that it's not worth it. It's not worth, you know, spending your young adult life in prison, you know, 4, 10, 15, 20 years. So what can you tell the youth out here, you know, about life in the prison and how it really is?
You know, the reality of it is, you know, going in there so young, but, you know, not naive to life and, you know, what's going on. But the reality of it is every day is a constant, you know, I got to watch my back. I got to look over my shoulder. You know, every day you wake up, and even while you sleep, because you don't know who you're sleeping with. You know, you sleep in a cell or you sleep in a dorm, and you don't know who you're sleeping with. You know, guys can wake up with the wrong attitude or the wrong mind, and you can lose your life.
Right.
And that was, you know, the scariest thing, you know, about being in there. You never know, you know, when you're going to get stabbed, when you're going to get choked out. You know,
right.
When somebody going to try to rape you, when somebody going to try to, you know, just jump on you and beat you up. You never know.
Well, there's nothing
you never
like
know.
Home,
okay?
you
yeah,
never
like playing
somebody,
Russian roulette, man.
Yeah, you never know when somebody's going to jump up and their girlfriend done left them and now they're tearing the phone off.
Exactly. Or trying to beat you in the head.
Right, right.
You know, you
might, every day.
Yeah, you might say good morning to a joker who just got a piece of mail, you know, that somebody in his family died or his mother passed or his girl, you know,
yeah,
dropped
John Deere letter.
Yeah, so, you know, every day you waking up on edge. You know, you paranoid, you scared, you know, you being defensive because you never know. You know, every day presents a different experience,
different
you know, mentally.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, you know, you letting the youths know out here, especially these cats that's thinking they tough and
right.
want to follow the leader all the time, is that, you know, you tough out here, but in there the guns stop
and
at the gate,
exactly,
you know?
Man. Exactly.
So, and in there, you know what I mean? It ain't like you can just rush up in there and say, I need me a shank.
No.
Because you got to know a cat to
you
even
know
get
somebody.
That.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, so the bottom line is we trying to let y'all know if you ain't got no number, you ain't trying to get now.
Exactly.
You know? If
exactly.
you ain't never been to prison, you ain't trying to go.
Don't
you
go,
know?
Man.
And for those who done been to prison, in and out of prison, you know, you definitely need to slow that down, you
right.
know what I mean?
Exactly.
And get your head on tight, you dig, and know that the streets will never love you back, you know?
Right.
If
right.
you done tried to be a dope dealer and you done got caught up, you know that ain't for you. You feel me?
You're
going to get caught again,
yep.
you know? If you running around here trying to do anything wrong, hey, 9 times out of 10, your turn is coming. So
yeah.
the bottom line is, hey, get it together, get your education, because they can't take that, like mm-hmm. we always keep telling you. But the streets can take your life and your freedom. You know, it's two places, penitentiary or the graveyard.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Is that fair to say, Brother John?
Yeah, that's 100% fair, man. That's
you
100%
know?
Fair.
So, you know, we definitely want all the youth to understand, you know, that Mr. Boyd, John, he caught his case just by going to sell some drugs, you know,
right.
thinking he was finna go back home and chill. But in the midst of him thinking he finna go back home and chill, he catches a murder case, you know? So it's so easy to get caught up in that life, man.
Right.
You feel me? Because it's a lot go with talking about I'm a drug dealer. You
that
feel
whole
me?
Life. Stuff that we don't see, man. People see.
Yeah, you see the good part.
Yeah, they
see
the good
money,
part.
The cars and the girls,
right.
and I'm chilling. But, hey, man, if you
it's
look deep into
pay,
that
man.
Picture, it's a big price to pay calling yourself a drug dealer and a thug, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you run around here like I always keep insinuating people with your little couple of ounces and your little couple pounds of weed or whatever, you need to sit your ass down. I'm going to keep it real. You need to sit your ass down
mm-hmm.
and go ahead and get your education, bro.
Right, exactly.
If you sitting in the penitentiary for that, your education can get you way more money
yep.
than what you're trying to do right there because that game is washed up, bro. You can't get that kind of money like back in the days no more. You can't
not
get the
all,
freeway
man.
Ricky Ross money no more.
not
you can't
at
get
all.
The Ray for the Effort money no more.
Nah.
I mean,
all this is targeted Walmart money, man.
Yeah, you can't get none of that, bruh. So, you know, your education can get you all the money that you can deserve in America. That can get you 400 or 500 million if you get into the right education thing and get your head on right. But the street life, bro, that's a dead end, all washed up, you know? So we're
right.
Just encouraging cats out there to, you know, get your head on tight, man, and learn that the thug gang, drug selling, or using is the oldest failure in American history, man, you know? So everybody have tried before you, man. You ain't the first cat with his pants hanging down with
right.
an ounce of weed in his pocket and
right.
saying, I'm finna hit the block, bro. You ain't the first guy, man. So learn from all the cats who's done, been that, did that, the ones who's dead, the ones who's just coming out of prison, and the ones who's never getting out. So
right.
just learn, man. You feel me? You
and
don't
see,
have to impress nobody, man. You know, impress yourself by getting up going to school or getting up going to somebody's job. Impress that, you know?
Right. And see, and, Brother Rob, that's the thing, man. You know, I mean, you older than me, but, you know, during the time I was doing it, it wasn't a whole lot of cats, man, you know, just allowing anybody to hustle.
Right.
You know, now anybody and their mother can hustle.
Right, and that's what I told cats a long, long time ago, man. You know, back in my era coming up, you know, it was only certain cats had access to the bricks, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it was only certain cats had access to the pounds and stuff like
right.
that. It's only certain people you could go see at that time, you know.
Right.
You wasn't allowed to hustle in the neighborhood unless you was with a certain clique, you know.
Right, exactly.
So kids nowadays, they're running, get an ounce of weed and sway up and down. They're making $1 million.
They're doing it.
You know?
Right.
And they smoke
kids nowadays will go buy it from anybody, too, whether they know the person or not.
Or not.
They
right.
don't care.
Right.
Exactly. They
thank
don't care.
You. Thank you,
right.
Lucinda.
Yeah. Ain't, there's no integrity in the game no more.
They ain't
right.
even really got they ain't even really got to know you. The only thing
nah.
you got to do is say, I got that.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah,
and I,
really
you know, that's one of the things, man. That's
that was
I
a no-no back in the day, man.
That,
we
definitely
didn't know
a no-no.
You, if we didn't know you,
right.
you, we would be like, who is you? You
right. And then if you got slick, they'd bust you upside your head, man.
Thank you. If you got fly, you know.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I say this era of people nowadays, the only thing you got to do is say, I got something. You know what I mean? They could have a bag of aspirins and shit. You're running by that.
Right,
thinking
exactly.
Thinking it's cocaine. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Next thing you know, you ain't even got what you went to shop for, you know? You know what I mean? And they got marijuana now that's looking like marijuana, and it's parsley.
Parsley, right.
So, you know, so many tricks and trades to this
yep.
out here, man. You know, that cats ain't even playing fair in that lifestyle, you know? So why would you want to waste your life and taking a chance on going to get something that you know done been stepped on 1,000 times and ain't even that, you know? So you're wasting your life and you're killing your life and you don't know what people putting in this shit nowadays,
yeah.
you know what I mean, that you smoking and putting up your nose and all this type of shit. You don't know what people
right.
putting in this shit nowadays, you know?
Right.
I tell anybody, you'll be a damn fool out here trying to call yourself a dope fiend at this age in life. You know what I mean? I had to laugh at you. You feel me? Come on, man. Let's get up out of darkness. You know what I mean? And see some light out here. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
you know, that's the oldest failure in history, man. Using and selling is the oldest failure. And you know, so people have tried, man. So many have tried. And everybody have lost, man. The only
you're going to lose,
biggest,
man.
Yeah,
you're
the only
lose.
Biggest drug
every
dealer
time.
In America that ain't going to lose, and that is our government, people, you know? They ain't going to lose because they make the laws and they
and
break
they,
the laws.
They, and they fix them, you know, to fit them.
Thank you. So let's get help, people.
And
they ain't going to never fix them to fit
system,
you.
The prison system the way it is now, man, because it's all fixed. You know, I ain't justifying, you know, cats doing breaking law and all that, but the prison systems are now fixed, man, and it's designed to incarcerate you and allow you to keep coming back, being a repeat offender, because the prison system ain't offering nothing but, you know, a place for you to lay your head down, and they're going to make money off you.
That's all
they
offer. That's
why they got the prison systems on the stock market now.
You already
right.
know it. You already know it. See, and people don't even understand that. That I learned about that long time ago. You know, if you're a private investor, you can own your own prison.
You can own your own
people.
Prison, man. It ain't nothing but modern-day slavery, man.
There it is.
Modern-day slavery.
In here, and we'll give you $30,000-$40,000 a month for them. You
right.
feel me? So that's what you better get hip to, people. And a lot of people don't know that the government had started that about 8 years ago, mm-hmm. where private investors can buy their own
prison. Can buy their own
prison. So if you don't know that, now you know that now right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, you know. So you're getting housed not just by government prisons. You're getting housed by
private prisons.
Your own prisons, people.
Right.
You feel me? So that is the biggest thing going for the last 8 years, and I just not spoke out on it, period, because I've been known of it. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you got very private investments that build their own prisons out here, and that's what you in, half of them. So half of them ain't government ran no more,
right.
You know? They government funded.
Right,
and
exactly.
Not government ran.
Man, the Hoover Deuce taught me that, man.
Right.
Yeah. So, John, when you got out, what did you go through, and how hard is it, trying to get a job?
Oh man, it was so difficult because, I came home with that mentality of, I'm a do it, I'm a hustle. I came home with that hustler's plan, that hustler's dream, and I just realized that everything was just so different. The people were so different. They were so, it's just like it was a crab mentality. Everybody was, for themselves.
Right.
And it was, I could just feel it in the atmosphere, even people's personality, was just
changed.
So, it was terrible.
Right.
It was sickening to my stomach,
Wasn't no more my homeboy.
And all those years of using drugs back in the 80s and 90s, when all the drugs were really, really big.
Right, but it just was the mentality of the people.
It tore up, the mines and the cities and everything. It just ruined.
It tore up.
Right,
it
tore up, man, I mean, back in the day, your name was, it was what it was. If you had a name, people knew you, they respected you,
right.
And you respected them not, because you was better than them, but, you got people that got street credibility, not because
right.
of they tough, but just who they are.
They did good business.
Right. Man, when I came home, man, it was totally different, man. I'm thinking, I come home, holler at a few folks and get it in. They'd put it down for me. I come holler at a joker, man. This would turn my stomach into a hustling game. I come holler at a friend of mine, and he doing life right now. But I come holler at him, to get some work. I just come home and everything. He give me an 8-ball.
Oh, man.
I mean,
that wasn't even enough to get you started making no money.
Listen, when he gave me that, man, I ain't even going to lie to you, man. That showed me that the game was terrible. I balled it up. I balled it up in my hand and threw it back at him in his face, right? Me and him, we was about to get in a fight over it.
Hey, John, whatever happened to giving me a whole bird, man?
Right. Right, and it was an insult.
Dude.
Yeah, but you know what I realized, Brother Rob?
It wasn't happening like that no more.
And not only that. See, I didn't understand that was a calling on my life. That's
right.
What I didn't understand.
Right.
All that was working for the good of what God was trying to do for me.
Right.
And see, I couldn't see it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was going through, the ups and downs and the roller coasters, man, of, trying to hustle again and, just everything happening the way it was.
And the hustle wasn't for you no more.
It wasn't for me no more, man.
I mean, because you didn't, that right there he gave you, you couldn't even make no money off that, man.
Man, he made me want to smoke it.
You know what I mean? He thought you was a dope fiend.
Yeah, what I'm going to do with that, man?
You know what I mean? Here, you take that and
Work your way up.
Yeah,
work your way up.
you'd be doing some hell of a working. You feel
I'm trying
me?
To tell you, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, the life done changed so much, man, out here in that lifestyle, man. You know, these cats be thinking they got that and they sitting on top of the world, man,
right.
And that's the lowest thing in the game, man. That's the lowest you get on the toe pole.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
He didn't even say, here go 36 of them. He
right, exactly.
Whole brick
exactly.
Work.
Exactly.
At least I can make me about 20 stacks,
20,
bro.
Right, exactly. Man, and what was so wild, man, being away for such a long period of time, I came home so green, man. I mean, I didn't know how much the phone was, to use the phone.
Right.
I came home, man, and I went to get on the bus because, they give you a bus ticket and all that when they
right.
let you go. I get to to catch the regular bus. I go to put 75 cents on the bus. The bus, $1.10.
Right.
I go to use the payphone to call my sister to tell her come get me.
Right.
I'm putting a cord in the phone, and the phone, you know, keep dropping the cord out. So
right.
I call my sister to collect. She was
right.
like, I thought you was home. I said, I am home, but the phone ain't taking my quarter. She
right.
said, look, the phone is 35 cent now, or 50 cent.
Right.
She said, ain't, you know, I came home so green, man, it was pathetic, man.
Right, right. Yeah, man, yeah, you know, that life's so washed up out here, man. It's unreal, you know. But, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we definitely are talking to my man John Boyd, and he's definitely telling his story and shedding his light out here to you youths out here, you know. And what advice would you give these youths out here, John, after serving 12 years and learning that the streets didn't love you back, my brother?
Man, my best advice that I can give them, man, is, you know, listen to your parents, man, and do right by your parents and make a life for yourself, you know, make a career for yourself. Go to school, get your education, you know, and work hard and honest for what you want, because at the end of the day, you know, you'll appreciate it and you'll protect it and value what you have. You know, when you're hustling, there's no really value because, you know, you make it, the faster you make it, the faster it's gone. You know, you don't, ain't no value, ain't no substance with it.
Exactly, you know. So we definitely hope you youths out here listening to this, you know. And we've been having some, you know, great moments right here on the show, you know, because like I say, the show is what it is, you know. The streets don't love you back, but we do enjoy ourselves on the show as well. And we tell our guests it ain't about being uptight, it's just about being right, you know. So that's the bottom line out here when you're sharing your story right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. We want you to be yourself at all times. And just go ahead and put it out there, you know, because it's uncensored, because life is uncensored, you know. So we don't want people to feel they can't say certain things, you know. And to the parents out there, we want to keep iterating to you all that you all need to start talking to your kids starting very young, because like we say all the time, you be thinking little Johnny ain't out doing wrong.
Right.
And little Johnny, 8 or 9 years old, carrying a pistol, selling weed and everything
right.
else while you at work. You don't know what little Johnny doing. But then we'll flip it, you know what I mean? Sometimes you know what little Johnny doing, and you sitting smoking weed with little Johnny and everything else, waiting for little Johnny to get home off the block, you know?
Right.
So we need to iterate that to the parents that be doing that too, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we definitely need to shift the game up, and we need to shift back being parents and not chilling, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And that's where a lot of the 80 kids is jumping off at, you know what I mean? Parents drinking and smoking weed and chilling and all that and wondering why little Johnny ain't respecting them, you know?
Right.
Little Johnny ain't going to respect.
Yeah, they're influencing that behavior, man.
Right. So little Johnny ain't going to respect you. So get hip to that. So don't look for no respect if you're sitting around doing all that with your kids, you know?
Right.
Right. John, tell us what you do now. What positive things you've been able to accomplish since you've been out?
I've, you know, managed to be assistant director of a day program, people with disabilities. I worked with them for 5 years, and, you know, it just really taught me a lot about myself, you know, patience and dealing with people and tolerating people. And that was a really, you know, major influence in my life, you know, as far as valuing life and, you know, my everyday, you know, ability to move around to see, you know, because working with that population, you know, is very, very, very strenuous, you know, on every level of your mental capacity, because, you know, their cognitive level is not so great. You know, you got some that can't see, some that can't walk, some that can't talk, you know, some that can't hear, you know, you have to, you know, change their diapers and you know, feed them, you know.
Right.
You know, and it just was an eye-opener for me to make me really value life, you know, and every day that I wake up, it makes me value my life and the use of my limbs that God gave me.
Exactly.
Amen.
That somebody doesn't have to take care of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, just think of all the people that have been wounded out in the streets, with, you know, gunshot wounds and
right.
stabbings, that are paralyzed and
right.
and, you know, and their mind is completely here, but they can't do anything for their
can't
bodies, and they have to depend
tell.
On other people.
Right,
exactly.
right.
Just like
we,
disabled.
Right.
And they have
definitely.
Been disabled, but they did it to themselves.
Right.
Because they're making the wrong choices, a lot of them, and then some is born like that.
Some born like that.
Some gets like that for making the wrong choices
exactly.
And being out here in the gang and the thug life, you know.
Right.
So we're definitely speaking on the people that's trying to be thugs and gangsters, you know. A lot of them end up in that situation, and that situation can be avoided, you know.
Yeah,
if you wasn't born like that, you don't have to end up like that, you know.
Right.
You don't have to put your life in that kind of danger, and you don't have to put your family in that type of danger, you know, because, like, once again, like being Freeway Ricky Ross was talking about, you know, when you do wrong out here in that drug trade, you don't only put yourself in jeopardy, you put everything around you
in jeopardy.
You feel
that's
me?
That's right.
You know, because cats will get the closest thing to you, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's your family. You see what I'm saying? So, once again, people, you don't know what little Johnny out there doing. So you better be finding out what little Johnny out there doing, especially if he ain't in that schoolhouse like he supposed to be. And every time you turn around, they call him home saying he's skipping. Johnny doing something wrong.
Right.
So start going to them PTA meetings. Start going to them teacher conference meetings. Start getting involved with your kids and start getting involved with what's going on in their life, you know. That's from the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, you know. So I'm going to turn it over to Miss Lucinda with the last announcements, and then we're going to go ahead and sign off after Miss Lucinda kick it what she got to say. And we appreciate John coming on the show tonight, kicking it real and keeping it real. And we just want to give him a chance to give his last shout-outs, and we're going to turn it over to Lucinda after he gives his shout-outs and et cetera.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
All right. And I just wanted to say, you know, I wanted to, first of all, say that I want to give thanks to my father, my spiritual father, Bishop Stepman and Tyson's Temple Church for, you know, all their prayers and investment in me, you know, keeping me on the straight and narrow. And, you know, just being there, you know, as a family, a friend, you know, and I love Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian, born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thank God, you know, just for my life. And I just say to all the people that's listening today, you know, make wise decisions with your life, because you only got, you know, one life on this earth. And one decision can, you know, alter your whole life.
Right. Well, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story, and hopefully, you know, that'll touch somebody and help somebody change their life.
And I appreciate y'all having me. Thanks, and congratulations to both of y'all. You know, I hope that, you know, y'all marriage be a success, you know, not only in y'all eyesight, but being influenced in somebody else's eyesight.
Well, we thank you.
Thank you as well, John.
Spread our message in our website and have people join, and, you know, just help us spread the word so that we can teach our youth, you know, that living that kind of a life, you know, along with it comes a lot of dangers.
Right.
No doubt. And we definitely want to let everybody know that Barton & Noble have picked a book up, and you will be able to get the book from Barton & Noble very, very soon. We just getting the paperwork and everything situated, so we just letting our fans know that God done blessed us with that. We've been waiting on that, and it definitely is official, and we definitely are going to let y'all know as soon as this, you know, ready. You know, you'll be able to catch that at the streetsdontloveyouback.neen.com, our movement page, and you also see it on Facebook, you know. So we just wanted you to know that. And once again, I want to just send out to my family, you know what I mean, the love to my family. Once again, the loss of my mother, baby sister, my auntie. And we just want to let everybody know you all is in our prayers. And we just want you to keep your head up at this time of turmoil. So keep your head up, family. And turn it over to Lucinda for her last words and things.
We'd like to remind you that we have a Christmas toy drive going on now, and you can, if you'd like to donate a toy or multiple toys, you can get on our website, and our address is there where you can send the toys to. And our website is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, And also, you know, again, the book and soundtrack would be a great Christmas gift for anyone if you need a Christmas gift. And you can also go onto our website. There's multiple stores and cities and even states that you can purchase the book and the soundtrack. And also, you can always get it on our website. And once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. And just remember that the streets don't love you back, and always take responsibility for your choices and actions. And make sure you get your education so you don't have to be out on the street. We'll see you again next week. Join us every Wednesday night, 9:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time. I'm your host, Lucinda Sierra, with my co-host, Robert Boyd, wishing you a great good night, and we will see you next week.
All right, Barbara.
All right, take care of yourself, John.
All right, man. God bless
you,
man.
Yeah.
All right, Lucinda.
LD. So far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
Everything will be okay, and somehow I know it is. All I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, put my back against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw, and still stand tall in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world, it's got 2 feet. Sometimes I still slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I lose the sheet.
Jealous of others. Do for your damn self.